We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
NFL Draft Running Back Conversations with Pat Corain is what we are going to be doing today on RotoViz Overtime. I'm obviously joined by Sean Siegel, as we are every RotoViz Overtime podcast. We're joined by the, I'm sure you're getting used to this at this point, Pat, it is the BBM Tree winner, Pat Corain. But we're not going to be talking best ball today. Maybe we'll tip into it a little bit, but we're going to be looking mainly at the rookie prospects. Maybe we might touch on them from a best ball perspective, where they should be going and current drafts. If you're not already following Pat on Twitter, you can do so at Pat Corain. Pat has recently launched, since winning the BBM Tree, a pretty good branding opportunity there to, you know, win that contest and launch your own website. We have legendaryupside.com. And of course, Sean joined him last week on the Legendary Upside podcast. So we're kind of a home and away for Sean here, and we're going to talk to Pat about some of the topics they didn't cover on that show. If you haven't checked that out, I would recommend head on over, subscribe to the podcast feed for Pat, and obviously listening to him and Sean have those conversations. But welcome back to the podcast, Pat.
Thanks. Yeah, psyched to be on. Psyched to talk more with Sean. We did about 2 hours last week, and maybe we'll keep it under that for these shows. But yeah, lots to touch on.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours with Sean and Pat, and I'm thinking, yeah, let's try and fit two podcasts here into a 1 hour period. It's I'm ready for the challenge. We'll see how we do. But starting off with Bijan Robinson, you know, in redraft and best ball, how high do you think he should be going? I know if you want to elaborate on the prospect side of things, but do you think where he lands is going to affect that ADP positively or negatively? Obviously, we don't know the landing spot, but how are you feeling on Bijan as a whole, and are we high enough on him in terms of his ADP at the moment?
Yeah, it's been interesting because Sam Sherman put out a thread a while back kind of going through the potential landing spots and pointing out, like, there's not a ton of landing spots where we'd be, like, super psyched, and maybe more landing spots than we'd really like to admit where we wouldn't be that excited about it. But my feeling with Bijan is, like, my take is, like, a little simple, which is just, like, he's Bijan. He's going to take over whatever backfield he goes to. So, like, landing spots like the Commanders do not worry me. Like, I think Brian Robinson is a backup to Bijan Robinson, like, no question. And then they don't really like Antonio Gibson, it seems like. So I wouldn't really be worried about those types of landing spots. I don't know that his ADP would necessarily, like, jump up a ton. That's probably kind of what everyone's baking in. And I think right at the 1-2 turn, I think he's a strong pick. I mean, he's such a good prospect. He offers potential to really be crushing down the stretch. Maybe you're sacrificing a little bit of early season production, you know, compared to other picks like a Jonathan Taylor or something. But you're going to have this rookie running back with this incredible profile coming on down the stretch, most likely. So I like him there. And then I think there's some outcomes, like if he were to go to the Vikings and they get rid of Dalvin Cook, I mean, he's like the 105 or something. So I think there are some outcomes where you're getting a little bit of some ultra upside that's not currently priced in. And then I personally think that, like, the really negative landing spots, like, even a, I guess the Chargers would be pretty bad where you feel like maybe he's more of a third round value. But I'm willing to take that kind of risk because he'd still be in a really potent offense, even in a case like that.
Pat, I just wanted to, as I jump in here, congratulate you on everything. We've done that on the show, but also obviously we want to do it in person. But specifically now, the launch of, you know, your new brand, your new site, all of those things, the newsletter, the podcast. I was mentioning that I love what you chose, and people who follow you know that it's based on the fantastic running back series that you've done and some other things like that. You've got the cool leg up portion there as the short point. But I mean, the big thing is that the content has been fantastic. And so it's been so much fun to follow this prospect series that you've done. And the most recent piece is Dwayne McBride is worth the risk. So, I mean, he's somebody that Colin and I actually have drafted a lot in Underdog. He's someone that it sounds like there's at least a slight chance that he could go early, although some of the inability to work out, I think, is knocking that down. What are the strengths and weaknesses for him? Do you think he could go early, and does it matter for that type of back?
I think his profile is, well, first of all, thank you, Sean. That's really kind of you to say. But yeah, the article on Dwayne McBride, I was excited to do. And this article, the way I've been doing the content is the first kind of big part, like the whoever the headline is with the, you know, the title and everything, that part I'm keeping free. So all the rookie content on there is like premium, but the paywall starts like very late, like maybe a couple thousand words in. So there's lots of good free stuff if you want to go check it out, including this article on McBride. I think he's one of the type, he's a type of back that I'm willing to, you know, chase into day three because his weaknesses are so obvious. Like he probably should be drafted day three. He caught 5 career passes in college. I mean, that's absurd. He played 30 games. He caught 5 passes. So like as an NFL franchise, you probably shouldn't spend a third round pick on that type of profile. But what he did do as a rusher was very impressive. He was highly elusive. He also ripped off 15 plus runs at a high rate, really good breakaway percentage, really good breakaway yards per game. He was able to handle a strong workload. And so like his per game numbers, you know, his missed tackles force per game and everything looked very strong. He wasn't just kind of elusive on a per touch basis. He was racking up carries and then making guys miss and then picking up yards after the fact. So we love to see that. There are level of competition concerns for him. And, you know, there's the big, big concern that he's probably just a 2-down back. And there's the concern that how fast is he at top speed? Because when you watch him on his highlights, he's often caught from behind. And, you know, I'm pointing out, like, these are the highlights. You know, it's the best place we got. And he's getting caught from behind. So I think there's some Kadeem Carey risk. You know, he ran a 4.7. And it's like sort of a threshold of which, like, you have to be at least this fast. And that's probably sub 4.7 to really be like installed as any, you know, to get any kind of run as an NFL back. I think he might be 4.65 though, you know, and I think that's fine because he clearly gets up to speed quick. He has very good acceleration, I think. And that's, you know, proven out by the numbers with his breakaway yards. I mean, he's able to hit those chunk play runs. I don't think he's going like 50 yards to the house in the NFL, but I think he is going to be able to put up, you know, 12, 15, 18 yard runs pretty regularly. So if you think about him as like a totally free play, which he is, he's going in the last rounds of best ball drafts. He's kind of a third round rookie pick type. And you think of like, hey, if he's rookie Gus Edwards, that's a big win for me. You know, I think that's the kind of play we're making, but he is worth the risk because he's kind of free right now.
Well, you mentioned that 4.65, and I mean, some of those Alabama backs have succeeded with profiles that are like that. And I'm always pretty concerned about them, especially because they're running behind NFL offensive lines, but they've done it all right there. And there's some data out there, or at least references to workouts out there that make him sound like a fantastic athlete. But at a certain point, you're like, I guess it doesn't matter if he can squat the entire opposing team, if they can all catch him from behind.
Yeah,
that's still a problem. So another guy who is, I think, controversial, obviously an earlier price, Tank Bigsby, somebody we had really early in our first volume of the rookie guide. We had to move him down a little bit because his workout numbers were pretty poor for his size. And then he has a decent pro day. You had mentioned on the show last week that he is not popular, not one of these guys you have to chase up. What are we looking at with Bigsby, somebody who was an elite recruit, had a great freshman season, but then, I mean, has he built on that enough to be somebody that we like at the NFL level?
He has for me, and he's been priced really cheaply recently. You know, Izzy Abanikanda is just skyrocketing up boards right now. And, you know, he coming off this amazing pro day. You had him ranked above Zach Charbonnet in our podcast, which is about as it's one of the things where I'm like, I'm pretty high on Abanikanda. And then Sean puts him ahead of Charbonnet. I guess I'm a bear, I guess. But Tank Bigsby and Kendre Miller have really been kind of dropping relative to Abanikanda and are almost like in a different tier or like maybe even two tiers down in these best ball drafts right now. And to me, they're all kind of a part of the same group of backs where it's like these guys all have pretty low floors, but they profile as potential three down backs. It really depends on how much the NFL likes them. Given how well Abanikanda worked out, it seems most likely that, you know, he would be the guy who goes round three to me, but he was not as highly regarded before the workouts. And so, you know, it's possible that an NFL team has Abanikanda ranked behind Bigsby, ranked behind Kendre Miller, something like that. So I think that Bigsby is pretty interesting. You know, he's not the most athletic guy, as you point out. He did run faster at his pro day, and he's not like, you know, so slow that I'm worried about it. You know, he's probably like he was in the mid 4.5s at the combine and the mid 4.4s at his pro day. So he's probably a 4.5-ish guy. He's kind of does everything pretty well. Like he's versatile. His yards per route run over the course of his career, right in line with Charbonnet and Roschon Johnson and Izzy Abanikanda. So I think it's a pretty similar play where he's got the size. He's athletic enough. He was productive. He's got a good rushing profile. He's competent as a receiver. If he's a third round pick, I mean, he could be like a starter. There's like an early down, like probably maybe he's losing some third downs, but you know, he's kind of a clear 1A back. So my philosophy with this draft class has been to kind of spread out my bets a little bit and try to pounce when some of these guys slip. And for whatever reason, Bigsby right now is slipping.
You did touch on Miller there a little bit. You know, there's some of the elements of his game are good but not great, and I think that's kind of what you're leaning at. Do you think, though, that there's a potential for him to be a round two rookie draft pick with potential breakout upside, or are you thinking that with what you mentioned a moment ago, he may not actually go as high in the NFL draft as people are expecting, and then the likelihood of him having that upside is not going to be there?
Miller's interesting because we're not going to get the... we haven't gotten any testing on him. So he looks fast to me. I've seen some people compare him, sorry, Sean, to Benny Snell, which, you know, they're using as a downside comp.
Benny Snell.
Yeah. They say, you know, he's maybe not the fastest. I don't.
Maybe they're just saying he's got the best personality of any of the.
Yeah, prospects. Maybe that's what they're saying. Yeah. I don't know. He looks like he's got burst to me. I mean, when I first watched him, I was like, this guy kind of reminds me of like Aaron Jones or something. You know, he's really smooth looking and he's big, but the issue actually is that he's not that type of back like at all. He didn't run many routes in college, and then he didn't have a great yards per route run. He's a bit below the other backs that I mentioned earlier. He's kind of in the range where I think he could probably be like a, you know, a three down back, like a Cam Akers style, like he just stays out there all the time type of dude. But I'm more concerned about Miller in that regard than the other guys because he wasn't used as much in the passing game as they were. So it's not just efficiency, it's usage with him. But I mean, I like Kendre Miller. He seems kind of like, it's like Dwayne McBride style, but like, he's faster than 4.7. You know, I feel confident about that. He's not like a total zero as a receiver. There's some red flags, but he's not a total zero like McBride. And I think he's going to be a pretty good NFL rusher. So, and the thing I like about Miller is that maybe there's some teams that are really high on him. You know, I think he's been kind of more in that day 3-4 mix, where he could be the guy that goes third round, you know? So I think getting Miller right now, he's tending to go a little bit ahead of Bigsby in these drafts, but sometimes I'll just grab them both. And I like where he's going as well.
And to continue the theme of making some comps towards McBride, Taji Spears, is he a smaller version, do you think, of McBride? And when we look at it then in terms of the peripherals and his impressive production, then we have the per 40 time. What's your thoughts overall on Spears?
Spears I've struggled with because he in my model, he looks really good. And I'm like, but then all the comps that he has are terrible. And then all they like my like his comps were Daryl Henderson, Duke Johnson, Amir Abdullah, and Ito Smith. And my model liked all of those guys as well. So I'm like, I think my model's broken when it comes to the Tajay Spear types. He's smaller than ideal. And he's kind of like, I think the Duke Johnson thing is sort of like, you know, where Michael Carter comes to mind, where if he were to go somewhere and he could be like the guy for that year, I think he'd be pretty fun. But he just sort of profiles as one of these backs that is going to be a constant risk of getting replaced. Like, he doesn't seem like the type of back that the NFL really wants to lean on because he's only 201 pounds. You know, he's 5'9", 5'10". So he's a good pass catcher, but he's not like an insanely good pass catcher. He had a career 1.43 yards per out run, which is like definitely good. But when you look at a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, who's 199, I love Jahmyr Gibbs, but he has off the charts receiving efficiency. And then like basically all the evaluators are like, this guy's an incredible receiving back, one of the best receiving backs to come out in years. You don't really hear that about Spears. He like, you know, he got some buzz at the Senior Bowl running routes and stuff. I think people are excited about him as a receiver, but it's not like that he's going to be this receiving superstar. I think he's more kind of like in the Duke Johnson type of mold. So I've struggled a little bit with him, and he's been more expensive. So like my preference would be for him. Like normally this is the type of back that we're getting cheaper than the Kendre Millers and the Tank Bigsby's. Like the market generally prefers kind of the 1A rushing backs with like some receiving competence rather than going after a guy who profiles as kind of a third down. He's going to start on the third down side and try to earn the rushing style. Normally we get those guys real cheap. So I haven't drafted as much of Spears, but it's kind of bugs me that I haven't been able to get him as much.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think that's a good way to put it because you kind of expect him to be even less expensive. Colin, you and I have taken him in a number of drafts as well. We're hitting this range of back, and then someone we drafted in the last round recently, Pat mentioned, I thought, in a really encouraging context on the show last week. You were talking about playing the discount game with some of these RBs and already kind of at a higher price level. We've talked about that with grabbing the people who were unpopular. But the example you used last week was Sean Tucker and then Chase Brown. And Chase Brown, interesting, because at the Senior Bowl, which you just referenced, I think the GPS times that they had on him or how they record that, he was actually faster than Spears, which when we know that Brown also had a very good workout. But then Brown to Evan Hall, is he someone that, like, you know, if we take him in the last round and then kind of looking forward to rookie drafts, can you take him? I mean, he's going to be somebody who could rise into round three. I think that you have a round four price tag on him. I'm interested in how this discount play works, especially, you know, reading through your profile on him, where maybe if the NFL were just a little bit more excited, then I mean, you could jump in with both feet.
Yeah, well, and I wonder if maybe we have the, because I was saying, you know, Chase Brown's arbitrage Sean Tucker, and then you know, Evan Hall's arbitrage Chase Brown. But like Sean Tucker with this medical red flag and stuff, and Dane Brugler had him, I believe it was his RB17 when he put out his draft guide, Sean Tucker I'm talking about. And so like we might have the order of those arbitrage plays like mixed up, you know, because we don't know where the draft capital's coming in. These backs do strike me as pretty similar to each other, and we don't have numbers on Tucker. He self-reported some numbers, but we don't have, you know, any kind of time numbers by scouts or electronic times. We do for Chase Brown, very athletic, and we do for Evan Hall, who's very athletic. 4.47 40, really strong 10-yard split, 37 vertical, 123-inch broad jump. He's very athletic. I don't really understand why there hasn't been much interest in Hall from the NFL. It seems like he's kind of a late day three type. And when you see guys graded as late day three types, that means they're potential UDFAs. I mean, there's lots of times where we're like, oh, this guy will get drafted in the fifth round and he doesn't get drafted. My concern with Hall is that like, there's a million backs who I've liked that we never hear from because the NFL just doesn't ever give them a chance. They don't get drafted. If he was to be drafted in the fifth round, yeah, I kind of like, I might like him more than Brown and Tucker. Like he's really athletic. He's versatile. He's very similar type of play to those guys. He's 209. So he's not like huge, you know, he's kind of on the borderline. Like, is that small? Dalvin Cook was 210. Like, can he put on some weight and keep that athleticism, get to 215? Cause then we're talking about, you know, potential three down guys. So yeah, I think to me, the question is like, where is he going to get drafted? ESPN had him at 302 overall. Brugler had a sixth round grade on him. So this is the, you know, it is the type of pick where you got to be willing to accept a full zero. A 0.0 never lugged a snap. But I do think that, you know, as an upside play, he is pretty fun.
It's just so weird to think about that. I mean, like you said, we've had backs before that we wanted to draft and then the NFL doesn't like them. And you get these guys who were not athletic and basically didn't play in college going instead in the fifth and sixth rounds. And you're like, yeah. Well, it seems like there's some kind of like weird magic going on in the draft rooms instead of what you might think. But the other thing with Hall is that it almost seems like he's being valued. Some of the things in his profile, you get the impression he's like 185 instead of the weight that you mentioned. I mean, at that weight, that athleticism, I mean, you're kind of thinking too that maybe it's going to be a third down back type of play. And if he's not in the right team, or it could be, you know, multiple years in the future. But I mean, like you said, I mean, he's not 185. He's not a small dude.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's really nice about Evan Hall is he had a 1.56 career yards per out run and he ran 15 routes a game. So you do, I think, have multiple outs to him getting a role if he's, you know, a sixth round pick, you know, like as long as he's like kind of in the building, I think he's pretty interesting. And this is the type of class where, like, you know, I mentioned Tank Bigsby and Roschon Johnson and Izzy Abanikanda, like Zach Charbonnet, like those guys all have the types of profiles where, you know, based on their career college efficiency as receivers, where they could be three down types of backs. But Hull is significantly better in terms of his yards per out run than they are. He's ahead of Spears. He's ahead of Devin Achane. Like he is, I think, potentially more explosive as a receiver, whereas those guys are like, hey, they're already out there. Let's leave them out. They can kind of do the third down duties, but they're primarily there to rush. He could actually get on the field as a receiver in a similar way to we're betting with Tajay Spears. But I think if he does get on the field, maybe it's even more exciting than if Spears gets out there. So I don't know. Draft this guy. How about that, NFL? Come on.
Well, obviously, if he went to the Kansas City Chiefs, then you're going to see an explosion in ADP. But if he went to the Chiefs, he would instantly be their best running back.
I mean, if they spend a six-round pick on him, they have the most capital tied to him, once they cut CEH.
Do you have another sort of discount chain here for us where you've got some arbitrage plays that you're looking at a profile where you've got players at each level and you really like the cheapest guy?
Well, I think maybe McBride would be that other discount chain where you've got Izzy to Kendre to Tank. Roshan would be in that chain. But my thing is, like, rather than just taking the cheapest guy, I strongly feel like mix up your bets with these backs who have very similar profiles, where they're like, we're hoping they're installed as the clear lead rusher, and then they're out there enough on third downs to be, kind of like a fifth round type of fantasy pick, which is like obviously a massive home run if you're getting them in the double digit rounds. So Roshan Johnson, someone who hasn't jumped out to me as much as in terms of the numbers and stuff, but I am mixing him in. I've talked Bigsby, Miller, McBride, Izzy. I like all of those guys. I think you want to, the backs who have that three down kind of classic size, it's a deep class that way. And we don't really have that great a read of where the NFL stands on these guys, who's going to, and obviously landing spot will make a big difference in terms of their immediate opportunity for best ball drafts and stuff. So I think mixing up your bets among those guys is really important. The reason that Tucker, Chase Brown, and Hall kind of all form a chain for me is that they're all a little smaller. And so I'm worried a little bit more about their ability. They strike me maybe more as like they get installed as like Alexander Mattison types, where they're like the clear handcuffs who, if they were like an Eno Benjamin type of play where it's like, well, yeah, once the starter goes down, he does everything. But a team doesn't feel great about giving them everything in the first place.
And in reading through your tiers, it seemed like you had Zach Evans sort of in that second group, the non three down guy.
That's how I view him. I mean, I honestly was like, what is the deal with Zach Evans? Like, why does everyone like Zach Evans so much? And to me, it's like, I guess it's because he was this incredible recruit. And, he didn't really have that strong of a college career in my view. And, he's smaller and he's kind of a committee guy. So I'm worried about him. Yeah. In the same way that I'm worried about Sean Tucker and Chase Brown, that he doesn't really get installed as a three down guy. He has fallen now. Zach Evans at one point was, I thought, like kind of wildly expensive. He's fallen now to where you can mix him in with like McBride. If I'm looking at Zach Evans and Dwayne McBride in the final round, I'm going to take Zach Evans because I've taken Dwayne McBride a million times. So I would love to get more exposure to Zach Evans at, basically free, because he is the type of guy where maybe a team is really into him. Just based on kind of the pedigree and stuff. But yeah, he fits for me more in that Sean Tucker, Chase Brown type of mold where he's a little smaller. He's probably more of a committee back. I'm a little bit less excited about it.
You mentioned a couple of things there in terms of how close it could be for some of these guys that we've already touched on to be at the late end of the draft based on how the NFL may or may not value some of their traits and characteristics. So I think obviously draft capital is going to be massive any year, but the way these guys could fall in the draft or be drafted a little bit higher than we're expecting is going to make a huge difference. So some of these guys may fall in by the time the draft happens into the sleeper category. They could, as you mentioned with Hull, be an undrafted free agent come the end of things here, but you may have already named one of them. Is there any other guys you think that we should be keeping an eye on who are, that sleeper category on the borderline of a day three pick into a DFA?
I mean, we have to keep the light on for Deuce Vaughn, right? We just have to. This is the most fun. I've never had more fun watching someone than Deuce Vaughn. He like makes guys fall down from like 10 yards away. And I'm convinced that like the charters just like didn't do this right. Like when you make a guy fall down from 10 yards away, that's like three broken tackles. You get credit for three broken tackles for that. Okay. Like he's not getting the full credit he deserves for just how shifty he is. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be like the shortest running back basically in NFL history. he's extremely small. But I don't know. Like, I remember watching Tariq Cohen in the fifth round of the Rotoviz Dynasty League when we have to, and at that time it was IDP, and I was like, oh my God, I gotta find anyone I can draft. And I found it was called the Human Joystick. It was a YouTube video of Tariq Cohen. And I was like, yep, this will work.
Sign me up.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel watching Deuce Vaughn. And I don't have Tariq Cohen. I don't have like advanced stats on Tariq Cohen. So, you know, he didn't come up as a comp for me for Vaughn because I don't have the numbers to make him a comp. You know, Darren Sproles is way, way ahead of the time that I've got these stats. But like, that's who kind of he feels like to me. Obviously, he's not going to be Sproles. Sproles is like the one of one type of outcome. You're never getting that again. But that, you know, he's super compact, you know, and he is a good receiver and he's so shifty. And I feel like with him, there's no question about like how he's going to be used. A team isn't going to try to install him as an early down back. And I was like, this just didn't work. He's no good. Like he's a satellite back. Definitely a satellite back. He's capping out as a satellite back. But if he lands in a good situation, if he were to go to the Chiefs, Sean, I mean, that's really fun. So let's have.
Would he be their best running back in that situation?
Yeah, he would. He would. Patrick Mahomes just running around, then Deuce Vaughn's just open in the flat.
And that Jerick McKinnon role.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Well, Pat, we're not going to do QB discussion on these two shows. We did a lot of that last week, and it's weirdly stressful. But
you're sick of me touting Will Levis?
No, you got me back on him. I'm fired up. Moving Will Levis back into the.
I'm only on him because he's going to get drafted high, for the record.
So, but we've got to have a little bonus mini segment here where the OT listeners, the members of the Sam Howell 100% rostership club, have asked you to weigh in and explain how career backup and plotting journeyman, obviously Jacoby Brissett, very good. One of the things I mentioned, I think last week, I don't know if I said this, I was definitely thinking it. I mean, Brissett is one of the 25 best quarterbacks in the NFL, so I wouldn't be surprised if he played somewhere. But help our listeners keep their expectations in check and create some context for us on this Washington quarterback situation.
Yeah, so I've been saying way too much terrible things about Sam Howell. But got back to you, Sean.
Well, I actually got an email earlier today with this specific question to highlight it. So I don't know what you've been saying, Pat, but it's
nothing
it's
good.
It's riled up the OT listeners.
No, it just strikes me like, so in super flex drafts, which, you know, if you're drafting on underdog right now, you're drafting super flex, and in Howell there, I think makes more sense because you got to think about like what's the payoff on the pick you're making, and there's a real payoff if Sam Howell is a really good starter and the team, you know, does believe in him as their quarterback. In one quarterback, I don't know that the payoff's really there. I mean, Mike Leone's had an incredible article, the Best Ball Manifesto, that he's been putting out, and it showed that, you know, two quarterback builds really are dominant. Sean, you've shown similar research, you know, two quarterback builds are getting three in the window, in the quarterback window. Those late round quarterback flyer picks aren't very good usually for best ball in general. And I think it's because like there often isn't that big of a payoff with these guys. And we could really, especially in these tournament type of structures, like that last round pick could be a spike week for you in the championship week. That could win you the whole tournament. And if you're spending it at quarterback, where you're unlikely to get a spike week, and even if you do get a spike week, it's unlikely to separate you from the field or even the guy on your own team. It might be a spike week that doesn't hit your lineup because an earlier quarterback has an even better week. That type of stuff happens. So structurally, I he's the type of guy where I'm already like, I'm not that interested. Then when I look at the situation, I'm like, you've got Ron Rivera, who's probably getting fired. He's the most...
should have been guy, fired last year.
Yeah, he's got the hottest seat in the NFL. I think he almost hasn't like really no chance of getting
no chance.
Shouldn't yeah, have he's any chance. He's kind of yeah, it's kind of crazy. But then you also have Eric Bieniemy, who I think is, you know, trying to prove that he was not, you know, like he hasn't gotten a shot to be a head coach. And, you know, I imagine some of that's because people are basically like, well, he gets to play, you know, he gets to coach Patrick Mahomes. So he's got a lot on the line this year. And when you look at Sam Howell as a prospect, he took a lot of sacks. That was a really big red flag for him. And that's the type of thing that could get his coaches pretty irritated. And you also look at who these coaches were. Well, the same coaches that basically didn't want to play him last year. And Taylor Heinicke had to be like, yeah, bench me so you can see what you have in Howell, guys. I mean, that's pretty bad. That's a bad sign. And the coaches have to be told by the starting quarterback to take a look at the other guy. I know he had a good fantasy game that week, but like he actually in EPA per play, he was like pretty middling. It wasn't bad, you know, in his first start and everything. So I'm not saying, oh, he stinks because of that one start. But there's sort of a narrative that like, oh my God, he has such a high ceiling because that one start. And I would say like kind of hold your horses on that a little bit. And then want to talk about last year's play. Jacoby Brissett was very good last year. So it's not like I'm saying he's going to get benched for Heinicke. But I think Jacoby Brissett is much better than Heinicke, you know? So Heinicke leaving, Brissett coming
in. I think
we
all agree on that, Sean. We're all in agreement.
Well, I mean, Jacoby Brissett much better than Deshaun Watson, seems like.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, it's tough. I think Howell's in a tough spot. I think he's got to be pretty flawless. And he isn't that type of guy. Like, he's fun. You know, we sort of thought about him when he's coming in as almost like kind of like Baker Mayfield, but maybe runs a little bit more, or, you know, sort of Baker Mayfield, but it works. It's his prospect profile. But I don't think it's going to be completely smooth sailing. And these coaches, like, really, I think they could have a pretty quick hook. And what do they care? Like, if they like, oh, we have to make sure we're developing this quarterback for the future. Like, there is no future if you're Ron Rivera. Like, you just got to win games, man.
I think, though, if they do make a coaching change early in the season, I think it's Rivera goes, and I think Bieniemy maybe becomes the head coach of the team. And I think that's what they should have done in the offseason already.
And maybe that would be good for Hal if they do that like real early. Yeah.
That's still my hope. So,
but I don't know. So we're hoping that the coach gets fired at the right time. That's our play.
Well, even if he got fired now, I'd be, you know, I don't want anyone to lose their job, but they should have made that move, I think, already. But that is going to wrap us up for today's episode. We're going to have a second one, which will come out on Wednesday. But Pat, as we wrap things up, I did mention legendaryupside.com and, of course, Sean being on the podcast last week. Anything that you want to mention here as we approach the end of today's show?
Yeah, I'm doing a 30-day trial right now that's going to be until the NFL draft. I'm going to drop that down to 7 after the NFL draft. So if you want to jump on that trial right now, you can. You can also get a $30 discount if you sign up now, legendaryupside.com/early. You can get that. If you sign up for the trial, I'll also add the discount on the back end. So feel free to do either way. So lots of great content. I'm going to have best ball rankings dropping on the site as soon as the NFL draft is over. Those will be uploadable to Underdog. You know, best ball just stepping all over the week that used to be Dynasty week for us, the rookie drafts. So
nobody cares. Going to have that ready for you. Basketball is here, and it's here to stay. It has just overtaken everything. But we will be back later this week on Wednesday, as I mentioned, to talk some wide receivers and tight ends with Pat. So do come back, check that out. Make sure you are subscribed to the RotoViz Overtime podcast feed. Drop us a written review. We would really appreciate that. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And my co-host, as always, is Sean Siegel. Check out all of Sean's work up on rotoviz.com. And until next time, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.